there.
My name is Michael Brady, and I am part of Partners for Karmic Freedom with my partner and my soulmate, Linda Brady. And this is day 57 of the Cancer Project. It's 9/26/22. It's about 20 of 11 at night. Life just keeps getting more exciting, doesn't it? Tampa is about to be hit by Category 2 hurricane tomorrow night, Tuesday late. There'll be rain in here. And Wednesday and Thursday and Friday are going to be storm surges and rainstorms and God knows what else. And they're calling for Zone 1 evacuation even now in Tampa. And Tampa hasn't been hit by a hurricane like this in 70, 80 years. It looks like we could be the home plate target of this hurricane. We'll see how that plays out. But even if we're not, the amount of storm surge and rain is going to be unprecedented. And in fact, if we lived where we used to live in South Tampa, which was 4.5 blocks north of the Air Force Base, MacDill Air Force Base, the mobile home that we were in is probably going to be, I'm not kidding, literally 12 feet underwater when this surge comes through. So we've moved north of that extreme south position, and we're in an area of Tampa called Citrus Park. And we're 32 feet above sea level here, and we're not near a river, and we're not near a body of water that closely. We're like 30 miles from either Tampa Bay or the Gulf of Mexico, you know, depending whether you're going south or west from us. So we're at the edge, the very edge of what they call the flood zones down here. There are 5 flood zones, A, B, C, D, and E. We are in the E zone of flood. And we're not, again, not near a body of water or a major stream. So I'm crossing my fingers that the apartment we live in, which is a ground floor, will not be flooded during this rain and wind experience. But we're going to lose power. Power is going to go out in Tampa, no doubt in my mind. And it could be out for 2, 3, 4 days or off and on. And that's going to suck. So we've decided tonight that we probably need to evacuate, leave Tampa for the rest of this week through the weekend probably, and come back when all this is over and see if our apartment's dry or it's not, or the roof is still on, that kind of thing. And Linda's still battling cancer. She has completed, as you all know from the last podcast, her external radiation. That was supposed to be 5 weeks. It took closer to 7 to complete it. She didn't do all of the chemos that were supposed to be married with it. She skipped 2 or 3 of them at the end because her body just could not take ingesting Drano into her bloodstream anymore. And I'm not exaggerating. I think that's really what that is. And that treatment has chronically worn her out, worn her down underneath. So even when she bounces back, she still lost ground. Each time that she gets treated, she loses a little more foundational ground in her body strength. So she had her last radiation this past Friday. This is a Monday. And it sucked. her first radiation on August 1st, she wasn't 20 minutes out of the door. We were leaving the parking lot of the hospital at the time, and I had to pull over because she was immediately nauseous, and she tossed her cookies hard on the first day she had radiation. Well, on the last day of her external radiation, she had the same process. So it took a little longer. And she's been having issues with telling the difference between feeling nauseous and feeling hungry, if you can really relate to that. So she feels uncomfortable. She doesn't know whether she's hungry because she hasn't been able to eat a lot over these weeks with the nauseousness and the radiation and the vomiting. So she wasn't sure after she got her radiation last Friday if she was really hungry or she was nauseous. And she had taken anti-nausea medication that day, two forms of it. So we thought we had her armored against the ultimate outcome. We went to a restaurant, a nice restaurant, after her last thing, and hopefully, you know, she was going to have some appetite and eat, or eat even if she didn't have an appetite, and enjoy the food, or at least think she enjoyed the food. And she held on to it for about 2 hours after she ate. But by she had the radiation at noon, I think it was, and by 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, she was tossing her cookies again. So that really tires her out every time that happens. I mean, it really tires her out. Tires her out for the rest of the day, for the next 12 hours. And she often just ends up going to bed after she gets settled enough to stop that, to interrupt it. And that happened Friday. So she went to sleep at like 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon, and she got up at 10:30 that night or something, and she went to the bathroom, and she took some more pills, and she went right back to bed and slept through the night. It wore out that bad. So she backslid over the weekend. She was struggling to get her energy back. And emotionally, that really got to her at the end of this thing, this worst phase. Because once in a while she voices in a young girl attitude, or a teenager, internal teenager, or maybe even as an adult, I don't know, or it mixes back and forth. She voices to me very occasionally that she feels hopeless. And I go, hopeless about what? That you're not going to survive the cancer and that you're not going to get better. And she says, no, it's not that. And she's just gotten this clarity with me over the weekend, because my wife can be pretty stoic, even with me. She said, no, I'm in despair that I'm never going to feel better again, that I'm never going to feel normal again, that I'm going to feel like this tired underneath part of me. I said, what, and forever? And she said, I don't know. So she had some struggling moments and spaces over the weekend, and we're in Monday, and she's not out of the woods yet with that. So she's bouncing up and down, in and out. She is recovering in between her treatments, has recovered in between her treatments. But again, there's a constant loss of ground underneath of that. So even though she moves up 5 yards, she loses 9 of the 5 yards, you know, that kind of thing. And they keep piling up from one treatment to the next. And she needs to go back in on the 31st of October for 3 days, the 31st, the 1st, and the 2nd, I believe, could be the 3rd too, I'm not sure now, for directed radiation in her cervix. I think they call it brachycardia is the technical term. They literally are going to dilate her cervix and insert an instrument that can emit a beam of radiation, and they're going to target particular places in her cervix where there might be microscopic cancer left, all the external, the observable MRI, observable cancer is gone, according to our consult over this past week, the end of the week, which is great news. And this is the effort to get whatever's left of the expressed cancer and then cross your fingers for 5 years and hope it doesn't come back. So she's wondering, too, about that, because it is radiation that's internally directed and in that sense more concentrated, I guess, than the broader external area of her body being radiated. So there's a part of her that's scared that's going to be worse than the other kind of radiation, and that it's going to tire her out at such a deep level that she'll never recover. That's the irrational part of her fear. Of course, we all know that's not true. If the cure doesn't kill you along the way, when you're finally done and your body's allowed to be itself, it wants to recover. It will recover. The healthy cells in your body do recover over the course of weeks, a month, months, who knows for sure. But, you know, the emotional part of her doesn't really trust that or believe that necessarily when she feels so chronically tired underneath and worn out by the treatment, by the cure. So that's going on. Everything's in a pause right now because of Hurricane Ian coming in Wednesday. This is Monday night. Tuesday night. By tomorrow night, it'll be raining here pretty constantly, I understand, from the weather station tonight. And by Wednesday morning, we'll be in full-throated hurricane, whatever that's going to look like. It could just be wind and surge, or it could be the eye coming ashore. Who the hell knows? We're in the best place we can be in Tampa. We're at the very edge. We're 30 miles away from the water. We're at the very edge of what they call the flood zones. There are five of them, A, B, C, D, and E, and we're E. We're in E. So, we have the best odds, I guess, of staying undamaged and dry. We're in an apartment, but we are on the ground floor. So if there would be 3 feet of water shows up on this property, it would invade our apartment probably. The roof can't blow off because we don't have a roof overhead. We have another apartment over our head. So that can't happen. I'm optimistic, I'm hopeful, that we won't get water intrusion into our apartment and if it happened, it would blow in through our patio. There's a screened-in patio in the front of the apartment, we've recently had a thunderstorm where the wind was right, and it actually blew rain, hard rain, in through the screen and actually flooded like an inch worth of water on our floor out there. If that happens with 100-mile winds and it's raining 12 and 24 hours at a shot, I don't know how much that could intrude through the patio doors and into the apartment, but I guess we'll see. There isn't anything else to do. We're on the verge of deciding to evacuate voluntarily ourselves, to leave Tampa for the week, not come back until the beginning of next week, because it looks like this hurricane is going to be actively messing with Tampa at least through Friday before it's really past us, East Coast and North. And we're dealing with the aftermath of it, and it's clearing. So our best bet would be to stay away until Monday, probably. Our plan is to, I'm going to stay up very late tonight, probably until 2 or 3, gathering together all the stuff you need to take on a little trip when you go away. We have to take our two dogs, our two teddy bears. It's a mix between a Shih Tzu and a Frisian Bichet. One is Tia. We have a girl who's two. And Tia looks like a Shih Tzu, primarily, with a little hair's a little curlier. Her face is a little different than a Shih Tzu, but close. And she's black and white. And she weighs 12 pounds. We just went to the vet today and had their board of tellers updated, which is fortunate because we're going to be boarding them in a hotel, it looks like, over the rest of the week. And Miko, who is about to turn two in December, our puppy, our boy, and he's he's long and skinny, and she's short and I wouldn't say fat, but solid. Let's call her solid. But he's definitely long and skinny, and he's 9 pounds currently. And we expect him to top out. We hope he tops out around 10, stays there. They're going to have to go with us. So got to pack them up and enough clothes. And I'm going to take I'm going to unplug the podcaster and take our computers with us and all that stuff just in case everything gets screwed here when we come back. And if we have to stay longer than the weekend away, and I'll be able to podcast and stuff if we're away for an extended period of time. So that's what's going on. We're both still are pretty weary underneath. Weary is the byword these days. Don't expect that to get much better until after her directed treatment stay in the beginning of November. In the clearance of that, so 3 or 4 weeks, I'm thinking December before we really start to feel less than tired underneath. And if we get enough time to sleep and rest by then, or able to sleep and rest by then, I have not slept well since July 3rd, basically speaking. I am on alert at a deep level. So even when I'm asleep, I'm paying attention. I told Linda, it was 100% of the time. Now it's like 75% of the time of the night. There's that 25% period where she gets up and goes to the bathroom and I'm unaware of it. But for the most part, I'm still more than not on that alert. So even when I'm asleep, I'm paying attention externally to myself or to her. And we had to change our sleep positions in the bed because of her nephrostomy tube. We switched sides. And I don't know about you all, but it's like, you know, when you go to a class, have you ever noticed when you go to a class, any kind of educational class or place you go to, the same place all the time, over and over again kind of thing. When you first arrive at a classroom, you pick out your seat and you sit in it. And everybody else does the same. And we literally are claiming our territory when we do that, because for the rest of the year, you expect the same person on your left, the same person on your right, and the same person behind you, and you expect nobody to be sitting in your chair when you come into that classroom. And we do that in auditoriums and all kinds of places. Well, we did that years ago with sleeping together. And my wife had very definite opinions about which side of the bed she should be on, which side of the bed I should be on. And I'm a Pisces, so I'm more adaptive than she is, or I think I am. So I said, okay. And I got used to sleeping on her. Well, if you're laying on your back, sleeping on her right side. And when she got the cancer and she came home from the hospital because of the nephrostomy tube, and the back associated with it, that's on her right side. So she needed to roll to the left instead of to the right. So she needed to switch sides of the bed to feel like she could avoid laying on the tubes or the back at night. And so we've been sleeping in opposite places all this time. That feels unfamiliar and weird. And I have issues with restless legs syndrome, I think they call it these days. It's not really my legs, it's my feet, but my feet feel weird at night, or my toes feel really cold even though I'm under the covers. And even if I get up and put socks on sometimes, my toes still feel cold at 4 o'clock in the morning, and they can't get warm for some reason. Or I have that electrical discharge discomfort that they talk about with having a restless leg thing with my feet. And it's just irksome enough to keep you from going completely asleep or from going into that nice, deep, restful sleep. It keeps me in that churning place or that thinking place, even if I do fall asleep. So I'm not sleeping deeply. I'm not sleeping well. Lynn's not sleeping well because of obvious things, having the radiation, the side effects, the nausea, the avoidance of rolling over on herself in that right side. All that stuff keeps her from completely relaxing or getting enough. So neither one of us are sleeping worth a darn anymore. And that's part of the weariness. So hopefully when we finally get through the last of the radiation, the burst of radiation, and a couple of weeks, which would be the third week in November, the fourth week in November, by the first week in December, I'm optimistic, I'm hopeful that we'll both be in a place where our bodies can finally relax deeply enough to get that rest that we all want so much every night when we go to sleep. But it ain't happening yet. And now we got a hurricane. I'll tell you, if you don't have a sense of humor about this kind of stuff, it will make you think some unpleasant thoughts about nature or God or the universe. But at any rate, we're gearing to leave tomorrow. I'll stay up the rest of the night or most of the night, probably until 3 o'clock or so, and get clothes together and the dog stuff and the computers and anything that we think is really important that could be destroyed if the place is blown to hell or floats down the river while we're gone. Yeah, so that's where things are at currently. I'm still working on getting together the right kind of presentation to send out to everybody we have on a mailing list. A file or a packet that they can forward to their mailing list, their social media contacts list, that kind of thing, to try to generate crowdfunding over the next 2-3 months on the GoFundMe page that we've set up so that we can collect enough money to pay for the next treatment phase, which is the SOT. We've talked about that before. Stands for Supportive Oligonucleotide Therapy, SOT, and maybe IST, which is a companion to that, depending on how the assessment of her tumors or her tumor looks to this treater, this other doctor, when we get an MRI for him, which we still have to do somewhere in the ensuing next couple of weeks. And then we need to get back to him and have that consult after he evaluates the MRI to make sure that she can take this treatment, it's right for her, and then which either part one or part one and two she needs to do, all that good stuff. Anyway, once that gets rolling over the next 3 weeks, I guess, maybe, I hope, we'll be called on to finance that, however much that's going to be. And at the low end, it'll be around $25,000. And at the upper end, it'll be more like $40,000. And I still haven't got a clue what we're going to get from the residual of our health insurance with the with our traditional treatment with Tampa General. There's just no way to know up front what you're going to get charged these days. I mean, the interaction between the hospitals. Well, for instance, in case you don't know this, there is no standardization of medical fee structures for techniques and practices across the United States in hospital care. Did you know that? That you can have two hospitals a block apart in the same town, and you could have identical procedures in both hospitals, and they can have radically different price ranges or prices attached to the same procedure. And then you throw in the insurance companies, which are trying to avoid payment as much as possible, and they're cutting and stalling and delaying. And normally when you have a procedure done inpatient or outpatient these days, it is And I'm just going back in my mind. I had a hemorrhoidectomy a couple of years ago, and I swear I got surprise hospital bills from providers, usually an outpatient provider that was associated with or something to do with the inpatient part of it. 4 months later, that was like, oh, where did that come from? Well, it took them that long between the outpatient organization or the inpatient organization and health insurance companies, it took them that long to get their act together and decide on what price they were charging, and then the insurance company deciding on what price they would take, and then if they would approve it or not under your policy. It took 3 and 4 months for the billing to catch up with the service after it was already done, and that hasn't changed. That's still going on. So you just really don't know until the dust settles whether you're done or not with hospital bills these days, or any portion of it that you need to pay. So I don't know what that's going to be. We're not far enough down the road, and the other treatment's going to be not supported by insurance, so we're going to have to find a way to pay for that ourselves. So anyway, if you know people who have a large social following or are adept at that kind of thing, just keep in mind that when in the next, I hope, couple of weeks, I can get this presentation to elicit crowdfunding from people sent out to you all, that you can forward that to those people who really have a lot of contacts out there. And we can blanket this thing out into the world in a larger sense and see what we can get back. Because it really will make the journey of completely curing this cancer. If Linda does SOT treatment after going through this horrible radiation chemo treatment, it will permanently eradicate the cancer in her body. It won't come back anymore. So we don't have to hold our breath for 5 years. That would be so nice. And that would free her up to get her energy back. And when she gets her energy back, both of us and me tagging along, me getting my energy back, for us to really begin to work on the book. And then her next book is actually going to be about this experience and our experience with the health insurance industry and the AMA and all of it, to hopefully show other people, and illustrate traditional treatment and alternative treatment, because we're doing both. We've decided to play both sides of the coin here, cover all the bases, if you will. So that's the update. I probably sound a little tired because I am again tired. And I'll work to keep you in touch and up to date as best I can. This is Monday. Might not get back to a podcast until Sunday. I just have to see how it rolls out. But I will take the equipment with me and two mics, I guess. And we'll see how life pans out. So thanks for listening. Again, we can be reached at karmicfreedom.com. That's our website. You can get to our podcast through that at all times. You go up to the left-hand corner of the opening page of our website to the little lines that are the menu indicator, and you click on that and you choose podcast, and it takes you right to the podcast list. You can peruse anything else in our website about us, about our services, about our philosophy, all that good stuff. You can reach us at karmicfreedom@gmail.com. That's our email. I can be texted or phoned at 802-323-6880. That's my iPhone. If I'm still breathing, it's on my body somewhere. They'll probably have to pry it out of my dead cold hand when I go. Because that's the way it is with smartphones these days. Once you're in for life, probably. And we would love to hear, I'd love to hear, we would both love to hear from anybody listening to us about what's going on with you in relation to us or in relation to yourself in response to what we're sharing with you. Any input from you is greatly appreciated and is actually really helpful and supportive to us. Otherwise, you just feel like you're alone in a vacuum when you're in. I mean, I feel so bad for people. And we've seen people like this in the hospital and the outpatient part of it. Older people who are alone. And sometimes they're alone and they're in a wheelchair. And I'm asking myself, are they in the hospital all this time? Are they? How do they get to and from the hospital? I know Linda couldn't have done this herself. There's no way she could have gotten in the car and driven a half an hour each way and then done radiation and chemo and got herself back home. But we see a number of people who look really bad off in the cancer treatment center at Tampa General. And we wonder, like how are they... Are they doing this by themselves, and how do you do that? It doesn't really seem possible, and we feel so bad for those people when we see them. And they're usually people that look worse off than we are in the treatment process. So we're hoping that coming out the other side of this, that we can, in hindsight, write some material and speak in the world in a way that's helpful to other people that are going into and through this same kind of experience, and help to generate some more support from the world around this for other people, for other individuals. Anyway, thanks for listening. I'm Michael Brady. I'm part of the partnership of Linda and Michael Brady, and together we are partners for Karmic Freedom. Thanks for listening. ¶¶